We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking veteran wide receiver values and tight end projections on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, bro?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. Have a fun episode coming up here. We're going to talk some more projections. We're going to talk veteran wide receivers, tight ends. Curtis, my shirt is currently covered in paint, as you can probably see. Fortunately, the listeners cannot see it, but how are you doing?
Man, but what the listeners can see is that big old C insignia on the left breast, man. It's a champion. I think I love to see the champion gear, man. Champion is like OG athletic gear. I love anytime I see people repping it. Actually, a couple of years ago, did a run of champion hoodies for the Dynasty Command Center subscribers back in the heyday of the Slack. Just really like it, man. So yeah, you're stained with paint, but you still showed up and you're still going to drop some fire on the pod tonight.
All right. On that note, let's get right into a price check on Robert Woods. I believe the kids call him Bobby Trees. He turned 29 years old in April. He's played 8 seasons. A little bit of context here on Robert Woods. In the last 3 seasons, he has gone under 10 points in 30% of games. Let me zoom in on that here. Getting old, Curtis. I'm starting to have trouble, seeing things without zooming in. It's a bad sign for me. Yep, 30% of games.
Go back to my laser eye surgery takes from a couple episodes ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You too could see like a falcon tomorrow.
Oh, man. 19% of his games, he's gone between 11 and 15 points. 26% of the time, 16 to 20. Over 21 points, just 11% of the time. But last year was a wide receiver one. 25% of the time. If we start looking forward, he comes out as wide receiver 19 in my subjective projections this year. Of course, he is playing with a talented wide receiver in Cooper Kupp, which limits some of his ability to land very high in my projections. Now, one thing that might be a little bit worrisome is the range of outcomes tool has Robert Woods coming in at wide receiver 31. That is looking at where a player is in his career, as well as his age to a certain extent. And it might be picking up on some of his comps reaching a point where we start to see them descend. From a dynasty lens right now, and just for the redraft folks out there, I actually still feel pretty solid about Robert Woods in redraft this year. I don't think you need to worry. But from that dynasty lens, Curtis, how are you feeling about Robert Woods and his value?
Well, Dave, I just dropped out for like the last 2 minutes of you talking. So from a dynasty perspective, I can still riff on Robert Woods here. I presume you went on talking about the impressive production that he's continued to put up, but also, you know, trying to understand the context of Woods in the Rams offense, or were you taking a different there?
Well, no. So I basically just recounted what he's done over the last couple of seasons, talked about how he still projects fairly well in my projections, but the range of outcomes tool has him starting to slip, which sometimes can be indicative of the tool realizing that players at this point in that player's career, around their age, they might start to take a little bit of a decline.
Yeah. Okay. So from a range of outcomes perspective, one thing I was noticing about Woods and Cup, Cooper Cup, actually, because I did a big Cooper Cup piece last week on the site. And I think that they're both probably, you know, a little understated. One thing the range of outcomes tool looks at is, you know, all of the, you know, all of the historical seasons that look like, you know, some of the seasons that just happened, and, you know, try to give us a shot of what, like, the 50 closest projections, you know, for a player. And, you know, but one of the big inputs is the most recent season from each player.
Yep.
And, you know, neither one of them had, you know, their best season in the last two or three last year. And so, you know, I think that's also material here. And we don't, I think, you know, in our conversations with Danny Kelly, where we went in, you know, deep on the Rams offense, and also just, you know, the way that I think both of you are looking at what Matthew Stafford will mean in that situation. I think some of the 2020 production for both of these receivers, and Woods would obviously be included in that, is a little bit tainted by, you know, Jared Goff's, you know, fall into, you know, I guess sub mediocre in his performance. And so, you know, I think we have to, I guess, you know, we can understand that the app has a wider range for him, and that makes sense, especially were Goff to continue to be the quarterback. But the app does not know that Matthew Stafford is the new quarterback. And it doesn't know anything about, you know, what Stafford will look like with either of these receivers. So I think, you know, Robert Woods is probably a pretty safe bet to outperform, you know, ADP. I think it'll be the same problem that we've always had a little bit with the Rams offense, is you kind of have to pick your weeks. Like, it's always really frustrating in DFS. Is it a Woods week or is it a Cup week? You know, and then back in the day, was it a Gurley week or was it a passing offense week? You know, I still think those conversations could still, you know, potentially need to occur. But I'm where I'm at here is, you know, Cooper Kupp is more than a year younger than Robert Woods, you know, at this point, and he's signed through 2025. And I actually went in really deep, Dave, on Matthew Stafford's passing distribution to different parts of the field, and then also looked at where Sean McVay has typically had his quarterbacks target Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods on the field. You can actually, this is an underutilized portion of the NFL Stat Explorer, actually. And there's just some beautiful heat maps that look at targets less than 5 yards from the line of scrimmage, from 5 to 14. So there's intermediate routes and then 15 and deeper. And you can see, you know, where players have been most productive. And then when I look at Kupp and Woods versus what Stafford did with, like, let's say Golden Tate, who is also a move receiver that got, you know, heavy slot utilization. I mean, Golden Tate had four top 17 wide receiver seasons with Matthew Stafford in Detroit. And some of that overlaid with Calvin Johnson's time there. And Cooper Kupp and Golden Tate's usage, their pass location, target location usage is almost identical. Like, it's really interesting how identical it is. So, you know, how much of that was Matthew Stafford using a player just where he's effective versus, you know, the offensive scheme? I think that's what we'll have to kind of see how things play out. Will McVay force, has Kupp and Woods usage been determined by McVay's offensive design or by Goff's willingness to target them in certain areas because of how he sees the field? That will be, you know, what we have to see play out. But the data that I'm looking at in the NFL Stat Explorer has me a little bit more excited about Cooper Kupp, but they're both players that I have a lot of. Like, my most common stacks in my tournaments are Matthew Stafford with one of the two Rams wide receivers. And when I do three-man best ball drafts, I actually stack both wide receivers with Matthew Stafford, like, super often. So I would say I'm probably rosier than the range of outcomes app on Robert Woods because of all the context. But that doesn't mean that the information in the app isn't useful.
Right. So yeah, you come out, in very much the same region that I do, which is I think that there's different circumstances this year. It makes it hard to go back and look at the past. Of course, both receivers have done good in the past, and if anything, we should see some improvement. So I feel pretty good about both of these guys. And then from a dynasty lens, taking Robert Woods forward, I still think that I feel pretty decent about another year or two of solid production out of Robert Woods. So we spent a fair amount of time on Woods and the Rams. Unless you had any other comments, we will move along.
No, I don't.
All right. So my tight end projections, I have a couple of questions for you here. Or you can just start talking about them. But I want to know what's more surprising to you. George Kittle as the number one tight end or Kyle Pitts as the number 10 tight end?
Oh, Kittle at one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, let's see, you've got 85 targets for Pitts in here, which is, I mean, that's a lot for a rookie tight end.
Yep.
Even, you know, I know the big argument on Pitts is, well, is he even really a tight end? And is he maybe the, you know, one of the best tight end prospects of all time? You know, that matters, but like you didn't give him 58 targets, you gave him 85 targets. You know, I think that the efficiency and the touchdown numbers, you know, those are the things that people would maybe go in and try to debate there a little bit. But Kittle at one, man, 163 targets in a 17-game season. I mean, absolute league winner when you think of him going at tight end three and even tight end four. I mean, the amount of momentum building around TJ Hockenson in fantasy circles over the last like 30 days is honestly, it's kind of borderline scary. Like he's gone from the guy that everyone liked the most out of the non-top three to kind of, I mean, breezing by Mark Andrews and now pushing into, well, is it really a big four? And I don't think he's done anything to warrant that type of consideration. So Kittle finishing number one overall with everything that's been going on around those elite three is really exciting. I mean, you've got him, he would clearly be setting a new record in receiving yards. You know, granted it's in a 17 game season. So, you know, we have to take that with a grain of salt, but almost 1600 receiving yards, 117 receptions. So, you know, clearly whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance, I mean, you've got the 49ers offense really just, you know, going through Kittle, Ayuk and Debo, you know, potentially, you know, just picking up their little, you know, scraps on the fringes there. And you have him, it's not like it's not like Kelce came out low is the thing. Like, it's not like George Kittle world beater and everyone else disappoints. I mean, Travis Kelce's got almost 1400 receiving yards in this model and Darren Waller has over 1100. So it's really, truly just that George Kittle stays healthy and scorches the earth. And it's not that that's a surprise. It's a surprise that he's that much better, even when Kelce and Waller also smash in this season. So, yeah, I mean, what are your comments? And, you know, what did your exercise, you know, your deep dive on the 49ers offense tell you and how did it lead to this projection?
Yeah. So one of the first things I think that occurred to me when I went back and I looked at these is we have seen Travis Kelce be awesome for a very long time. We're at the point where I think that we start to see a guy like Kittle that has, I think, is still ascending, kind of surpass him. Now, one of the things that you have to look at when you look at a player like George Kittle is that as far as tight ends go, he's absolutely been smashing in yards per reception. I mean, going back to 2018, the first season where we truly saw him get fully involved for San Francisco, the man put up more than 15.6 yards per reception, followed up the next season at 12.4, and last year was at around 13.2. So yes, I have him projected being pretty efficient this year at 13.5 receiving yards per reception. Maybe that's a little much, but this is a player that I still think very reasonably controls 28% of targets because he is undeniably, in my opinion, the best player in this offense, the one that they need to run things through. And I think also if you look back at other seasons, you know, it's very possible that some of those seasons he had, in particular, last year. I think if he'd played the whole season, you probably would have seen him continuing to push for the tight end one spot. I'll also say I only have him in a very modest receiving touchdown percentage of 4%, which puts him at a total of just 6 receiving touchdowns. Travis Kelce's at 9. What it comes down to is he gets a little bit more, he gets about 6 more receptions, but just that added yardage on those numbers starts to make a difference. So I could be a little overstated there, but this is one of those that, you have the player who I think is by and large the best player in their offense. Travis Kelce's awesome, but you still have Tyreek Hill, other talented players there. So a lot of that, just when I work through the 49ers, you land, as I said, Kittle with a very high percentage, and even his historical efficiency is just enough to make him a very attractive player at the tight end position.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, I love that you're putting your money where your mouth is too, and not that there's actually money riding on this game. But we talked about earlier this week, you selecting George Kittle at tight end 2 in the Scott Fish Bowl, which is also tight end premium. Yep. You took him over Darren Waller. Yep. And that seems to be, 90% of the time, what has been happening in the drafts that I've been in is that, Waller is maybe even at times a half round earlier than Kittle, sometimes even a full round. Feels like George Kittle, like in the half PPR contests and, some of those popular best ball contests, Kittle's, like a third round pick and Waller's like a mid second. So it's really interesting, man. If you're in a tight end premium league, and you're agreeing with Dave's look at the 49ers offense, then you need to maybe adjust your outlook for George Kittle this year, because this is league winner stuff in tight end premium. We're talking 370 tight end premium points. And in PPR, we're talking between 19 and 20 points per game. When you adjust for a 17 game season, I mean, this is just truly like a historically great season that our projection tools are mapping out for George Kittle. So again, you got to take a look at the entire projection set. It's really exciting. I think another notable name here that I hinted at was TJ Hockenson. Hockenson comes 97 points behind George Kittle in tight end premium, about 72 points behind him. And I think this is even a great projection for him in terms of like him becoming, the engine of the Detroit Lions offense. It's 129 targets, but it just shows you the difference in the gap of where, a bad offense versus a good offense, potentially could be. And then you also see, guys like Mark Andrews, a full like half tier, even below where Hockenson is. Jared Cook is a player we've both mentioned a couple times as a favorite sleeper. 94 targets, 763 receiving yards for Cook would be a screaming value if this comes into play here. And then, you know, Pitts at tight end 10 is interesting, but, you know, some of the other trendy, you know, younger wide receivers that a lot of people like to think could make, you know, that year three leap are Noah Fant and Mike Gesicki.
Trendy, well, young tight ends.
Yeah, trendy young tight ends. What did I say?
You said wide receivers. So just to make sure we don't have any confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I said wide receivers. Trendy young tight ends.
Because the numbers these guys are putting up look like wide receiver numbers.
Yeah, well, not Fant and Gesicki necessarily. Yeah. Some of the other guys. Fant, even with 100 targets, it's an inefficient 100 targets with a low touchdown output. And Gesicki, only 85 targets. So, you know, neither one of these guys really taking that leap. The one that I think I'm a little bit scared about, maybe spend a minute on that, is Irv Smith.
Yep.
And this comes down to how much do you buy into coach speak? Because Mike Zimmer, man, like this was just a cold shower on Irv Smith. This quote, man, I don't know if you've seen this. I actually buried this quote in one of my Dynasty Trade articles last week, and because I suggested maybe packaging Irv Smith in a pick for, you know, this player that I was writing up at the time.
Yep.
This is straight from Mike Zimmer. Honestly, I don't. So he's talking about Irv Smith's role in the context of Kyle Rudolph being gone from the offense. Honestly, I don't think it's a bigger role for him whatsoever, Mike Zimmer said. I think it's a bigger role for Tyler Conklin. He's emerged as a guy that's moving upward. And with those two guys, we have a lot of weapons there. Irv has always been able to do what he's been able to do, whether Kyle was here or not. We're excited about these two young tight ends that we have. So that doesn't sound like anything like that they even want to change the offense. It kind of sounds like Conklin maybe is, you know, going to walk into the Kyle Rudolph role and Irv Smith's going to keep the same role. You know, and, you know, how much do we put into the coach speak? I think it's, you know, that's a tough thing. And you got Zimmer, who's obviously not running the offense, you know, he controls the defense. So how much should we believe this? You've got just 81 targets on Irv Smith, but it's a pretty efficient and explosive 81 targets. And he's coming in at tight end 7. And so that's what's interesting, is if you give him the efficiency, he doesn't have to break the bank on the volume. So, you know, I don't know if you have any notes on the Vikings handy, or notes on other players, like, you know, did some of this come at Adam Thielen's expense, you know, that type of thing. I'm really interested on Smith.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of this comes down to the idea that I have a lot of the target share for Minnesota concentrated in four players. So I have Justin Jefferson at 28% of targets, very reasonable. Adam Thielen at 24. So there starts to be a little bit of a separation between them. Then you have Dalvin Cook at 12%. But if you look at the other receivers, do we expect that, you know, Chad Beebe or Olubisi Johnson is going to be a big fixture in this offense, right? I don't. I think that Irv Smith is a talented player. We have a team that has shown historically that it gets a tight end involved. I am not looking at Tyler Conklin as a player that comes in and all of a sudden takes a large amount of volume. So I land with Irv Smith around 14% of targets. Maybe I'm wrong and that number goes down to 12 or 11%. I still feel good about his ability to be explosive. I have him at 10% of his receiving touchdown percentage of 10%, I should say, which comes out to 6 receiving touchdowns. That feels completely normal. That feels acceptable to me, right? Like, you know, these are not numbers that for a tight end that could be, you know, a pretty big fixture in his offense feel unreasonable. So yeah, I mean, I could easily be wrong, but like you said, at the end of last episode, we don't need to focus so much on the exact line that I have for Irv Smith. What this is telling us is that if people are letting Irv Smith fall down far in drafts, you have a guy that actually has a pretty decent shot of being a tight end one. The other reason that I like it too is there has to be changing of the guards, you know, at certain points at positions. And if you look at the young tight ends, there's been a lot of talk about these other players, but remember Irv Smith coming out of school looked like a very talented player. So, you know, this is one that, you know, maybe makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But unless I am completely off base, assuming that, you know, he becomes a prominent part of the offense, then I think I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, it would just be, I mean, really, it would just be toggling, you know, through adjusting maybe the catch percentage is really the only way to change it. I think after hearing you talk about that and where he would sit within the offense, the target percentage sounds super reasonable, even in the event that the team still plays some 12 personnel and allows Tyler Conklin to get in on, you know, some of those plays and packages that were, you know, reserved for Kyle Rudolph in seasons past. So, yeah, I think that was useful to talk through.
So actually, let's do something live here. I'm going to drop the catch percentage by 3%. I'm going to drop the yards.
You've got him at like 75% right now, right?
Yeah, I do.
You had him 61 receptions on 81 targets. Yeah.
Yep. Now, his rookie season was at a 77% rate, went down to about 71 last year. Kirk Cousins normally can support his tight ends with a decent rate. I'm going to drop down now by 0.3 on his receiving yards, and I'm even going to take him down one touchdown, which if I did my math correctly, oops, put in the wrong number there. Great radio, just me typing, but I think it will be interesting to let everybody know how this affects him. Now, if I go back and I look at tight ends, we see him down.
Let me make a guess. Yep. I'm going to say he comes in at tight end 11 now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So he'd come in right between Pitts and Gesicki.
Yep.
Is where he'd fall to. Because what we're doing here is illustrating a tier.
Yep.
We would have Kittle, Kelsey, at the top. And then actually there's a gap after those two. And then you have Waller and Hockenson in tier two. Andrews is in tier three by himself. And then you get a big fat tier from tight end six down through tight end 11, is what happens. And so Irv Smith, right now, sitting more towards the top of that with 170 PPR, you know, he drops down, you know, to the ones at probably a 160 number after the tweaks that Dave made. And that's even, you know, subtracting, you know, material efficiency from his role. So that's super useful, Dave. And I think it goes back and supports the comment of, you know, where does he show up in the list? Let's not worry quite as much about, you know, the actual output.
Yeah, exactly. And like when I'm going through these, there's no reason I have learned at this point to try to nail down everything to the decimal point, because once the season starts, there's going to be so much that I'm wrong about and so many things that I could not have accounted for before season that I'm not obsessing over the small details. I'm trying to use a very detailed process to help us better approximate a real high level approach where we're looking at, you know, things that feel reasonable. And this isn't the end all and be all in anything we do at RotoViz. It's just one input into our broader process to help us check ourselves to maybe realize there's some guys we're way too low on, or there's some guys we're high on, but they need a really, really good and very fortunate season for those to hit. So just keep that in mind as you're listening to us talk about these numbers and you might be viewing them on the site.
And so the specific applicability on Irv Smith here, I didn't know this was going to be an Irv Smith episode, but you never know what you're going to get into
yeah, exactly.
When you're talking about projections. What it tells us is that if you do not want to spend a round 7 through 11 pick, actually, and if you include Pitts in this, so if you include Pitts in this comment with where he's landing here in this tier four, actually, for tight ends, he's being super overdrafted. And then when you take a look at all the other guys, they're going kind of between round 7 and 11, but you can actually wait past that. Take Irv Smith and Jared Cook as a combo and end up with two tight end ones based off of these projections at much cheaper pricing than you would pay for Tyler Higbee, Noah Fant, Mike Gesicki, Robert Tonyan, and, you know, the likes of those guys. So it really... I think what it's telling us is that Irv Smith, Jared Cook, good values at ADP versus the rest of the guys that they're kind of jammed in there with.
Yeah, absolutely. So that takes us to the end of this episode. As Curtis mentioned last week, if you want to call in and let me know how wrong I am or how bad these projections are, you can absolutely do that. And as a bonus, you will actually be entered to win a t-shirt. So the number is 978-615-9214. 978-615-9214. You can also send us an email at rotovizffshow@gmail.com. Let us know if there's topics you want us to talk about, if there's questions that you have, anything that you've been looking forward to us breaking down on the show, and we will do our best to get to that, and we will see you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.